Clive. Thank you to the worship team. And thanks for having us back. It's always nice when you get invited back somewhere. Don't know if it's whether you've got a gap to fill or whether God's got something to do. You know, as I was coming here this morning, as a speaker and as a preacher, you're always wondering, has the Lord put the right message for today in my heart? You know, you've been following a series, and as I come in and fit into that, as I'm driving along in Cumbernauld, we have the gift of having a Christian radio station, a full-time radio station, which is on 24 hours a day. And as I was driving along the motorway, and I turned it on this morning, the passage that I'm speaking on, the guy was speaking on this morning. I went up to your prayer meeting before we started the church, and one of the whole thoughts that I have, one of the folks in the, I think it was yourself, was praying specifically about let our light shine. We're going to think about that a wee bit today. I think God's here. I think God wants to do something in us. I believe God wants to do something in me. And as we start this morning, I want us to, no matter where we've come from, this might be your first time here in this church, or you may have been coming for a long time, but we come to God's word and recognize that it's completely relevant for every circumstance we face. It's completely relevant right here and right now for this morning. And I don't believe God just brings speakers to speak just to fill a gap. I believe God wants to do stuff in people's lives. And this morning, as we saw people being welcomed into fellowship, they were asked a question, and it's the same question that I had brought with me for you guys this morning. I don't believe we have a God who does coincidences, do you? Sometimes we come to the Bible and we go into autopilot. We read the passage of scriptures that are familiar to us. We read the bits that we like and we enjoy. We take the lessons that we want to have, but today I want us to look at a passage in Luke chapter 12, following on in your series that you've been doing. But this morning I want you to think right from the outset that when we hear the word of God, it demands a response. We cannot hear it and ignore it. And if we do ignore it, as it's been said before, that's a response in itself. But in Luke chapter 12, we're going to be reading from verse 35, and this can be quite a complicated little passage. And I'm not going to be dealing with complicated stuff this morning, because I believe what God has put in my heart is simple. And I believe it's something that could change a community if we get it right, and I include myself in this. I don't know if you, when you were younger, you ever tried the old trick of getting ready for school the night before so you could sleep in. Has anybody done that? Anybody willing to admit for that? Was it just me? Excellent, good. I'm glad I'm not on my own. We have this mindset that we need to be ready for every circumstance that we're going to face. And I don't know what you're like if you are the super prepared and super organized and you've got everything ready to go, or if you're the kind of person who can flies by the seat of their pants and they really don't know what's happening next and you're not prepared at all. Can I see the folks that are always prepared? This church needs some management teaching, I think. I remember working in a factory before I went to go to Bible college, and there was this whole mindset, do as little as you can that you can get away with. And that seems to be in our culture. And our workforces and the kind of people that we are, we've built this culture that we will do as little as we can that we can get away with that will be acceptable. And we've got workforces who do it every day. You've seen it. Sorry if you work for the council. I don't want to offend JJB Sports or the council, but you've got one guy with a white hat watching 12 guys, watching the one guy dig the hole. You've seen that? In Africa, when this plane crashed, it was quite amazing. 30 guys stood in front of this aeroplane. It was a cargo plane. And they were trying to figure out what they were going to do with it. And the reports came back to the airport just after I had been threatened to be arrested for taking photographs, but that's another story. Reports came back saying they're going to lift it manually. I thought, these guys are off their head, but they were really thinking about doing it. But today, as we come to God's word and as we look at this passage, and we're really going to look at the first half of this passage, I want us to look at two simple thoughts. And they are right in the first verse of this passage. says, be dressed ready for service and keep your lamps burning. Like men waiting for their master, verse 36 now, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve and will have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known what hour the thief was coming, he would have not let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because if the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. And Peter asked, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? We'll come back to some other bits of the passage in just a little second. Jesus needed to give his listeners an illustration about the importance of being ready. That idea of being expectant for the master's return. And he had to give an illustration to let them see what it would be like in order for you to be ready for the master coming back. And if you were in that working environment and you were there looking after the house of the master who had gone to celebrate in this wedding, that the servants who were looking after the house would have to be ready for his return. That anticipation, the expectation of waiting for the master to come, to be ready for service, to be dressed, to welcome him, and to receive him back. To have the light shining in that home at whatever time of the day, because as we read in the passage, it could be any time in the second or third watch of the night. And Jesus was trying to say to the listeners of this parable, of this little story, he was asking them a question that they had all to have a response to. As they heard the story, they could put themselves in the position of these servants. They could feel that expectation of waiting for somebody really important to return. And they would understand where Jesus was coming from. But there was a bit of uncertainty of when this master would come back. And that's why Jesus was looking for these people, not to have a half-hearted approach to faith and life and service, not to just have the mindset of we'll do as little as we can that we can get away with, but that they were dressed, ready for service, ready to act, ready to move at whatever was needed to be done. In these days of religion, people followed rules and regulations. And Jesus wasn't looking for people to follow rules and regulations. He was looking for a heart's response to the call that these people had. No watered-down commitment, but a full understanding of what living and serving God would look like. And as I come here this morning, and as I challenge myself, am I ready? Are you ready? These people would be ready to fulfill their duties. They would be dressed immaculately. They'd be waiting for the master to return. The second part of that talks about having your lamps burning, keeping them burning. And you know, folks, as I go around and see many churches and see many individuals, I see a lot of fires that have gone out, a lot of lamps that are dim and even have been switched off. Jesus is trying to get these people to think about the light that they have and to shine. They would have to attend to the lamp. And these days, they didn't just come in and flick on a switch like we do now. In Africa, it was interesting because seeing how people lived in this little room with no electricity, or when there was electricity, the Zambian government every Tuesday afternoon turned the electricity off in the whole nation so that they can reserve power. And if you've not got a generator, you're in darkness. If you're in your house, there's little light. And Jesus is saying in this story, you need to keep your lamp attended to. You need to have that oil continually allowing your lamp to burn. Because if you don't attend, it will go out. Be ready. Be dressed, ready for service. Keep your light to shine. This light was to burn bright. When the master was coming, he could see the light from the distance in the middle of all the darkness. And I believe that's what the local church has been called to be, the light in the darkness, the city on a hill. And we'll think about that just in a few moments. Each of us have to shine bright, being ready for the master's return. Jesus was preparing the listeners. And I wonder what he was preparing them for. As I was thinking about that concept of getting dressed and being ready, the Bible's got a bit to say about being dressed, about things that we can put on in order to get ourselves ready for a day, ready for battle, first of all, and ready for service. You may know the passage in Ephesians 6 where it talks about putting on the full armour of God, being fully dressed and equipped with the armour that God has for us, for every one of us to put on, to be ready for the day, to be ready for the battle, to be protected from the attacks and the fiery darts of the devil, which he will fire. But when we have this armour on, dressed and ready for battle, ready for service, God protects. And he gives us his word as that sword in order to attack back with the full power and authority of what he has to say. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, it says this, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." When we get dressed and when we're ready for battle, when we're ready for service, we're asked to have a character change as well. To be filled with compassion, to show kindness, to be an example of humility, to show gentleness, and to be patient. In this little passage, it talks about bearing with each other and forgive one another. Do you know we don't do that enough, folks? Often we're not ready for service because we're not forgiven. We're not bearing with each other. I suppose I should have got my wife to come and do a bit on that one. But we've been given that challenge, forgive, forgive, forgive. Let us never be ill-equipped for service because we're not fully dressed with what Jesus wants to do for us. And this whole idea of kindness, and this is really where I want to come this morning from. And this idea of not just serving the master, but serving each other and shining for each other. And this week, I got a phone call to ask me if I would take responsibility for something quite important and quite special. And you may have heard about this before, you may have not heard about it, but it's in this wee box over here. And it's called the Scone Stone. Has anybody heard of the Scone Stone? Nobody? Yeah? This is quite an interesting little box. It's beautiful, really well made. And it's like Indiana Jones. You know, you get into the next bit and you get into the next bit of how it works. But I got a phone call this week to say, "John, I have been given this stone. And this stone represents kindness." And the idea is that each keeper of the stone has got to show kindness to someone and be inspired to do good for someone. And also to get as many people as possible inspired to do good towards somebody else. I thought, but a strange phone call, a bit of a strange communication. But they said, "We want you to take it. But there's a few rules with it. You only can have it for 7 days. And this is it here. It's been carved by a guy in Canada who eventually got it back to Scotland. And this was inspired by his wife and the way that she lived in acts of kindness, being willing to serve others. And Alex Salmond took this to the Scottish Parliament and had to have a bill made for it to be able to do what it has to do. And then it was presented to the Reverend Neil Galbraith at a Runrig concert in Scone. And he then was given the charge, 7 days, 7 days, 7 days, 7 days. And eventually it's ended up in my hands. And I was thinking about it. When it comes to being inspired to do acts of kindness, do we need a wee stone and an instruction for 7 days, and then that's it forgot about? And I'm probably not representing this stone the way that it should. But someone was inspired by the kindness of somebody else, and they said, we're going to make something that's going to remind people. And it's going to travel the world. This has been to Qatar. It's been to America. It's been all over the place. If you want to see it later on, I'll have it and you can have a wee nosy. I'll put it back here because it is heavy. But being inspired to serve and to show kindness to each other. And I believe that's one area in the church that we have really struggled with. We all live in our individual little circumstances with our individual lives. And with the things that we want to do and the things that we want to be involved in. And we almost have, again, these ideas of God fits in at the right time and work fits in at the right time and family works in at the right time. And I really have a thing about this. We say I'm ready to be a Christian when it fits into my week. But when I think about being inspired and being ready to serve, I think about Jesus. I think about his life. I don't need a stone. I just need to look at the Gospels and see the kind of person that he was, the kind of things that he did, the kind of people that he met, the lives that he changed, the willingness he had to touch the people that no one else would touch, to draw alongside the people who had been shunned to the side, to go to the people who were struggling the most in his day, and rather than spending time with the most important people, he went to those who needed him most. Are we dressed ready for service to do as Jesus did? To be the person that Jesus wants us to be? Jesus is looking for a readiness and an expectancy this morning. The ability to react at all times and exercise the gifts and the talents that we have been given. We had folks here this morning that were asked the question, what are you going to do to serve in this church? We've all got a part to play. Every single one of you. We've all been asked to be ready to serve, to do the right thing. But for how many of us has our lights gone out? How many of us has our lights stopped shining? And I love this idea of keeping the lamp burning. And the idea of each one of us providing a little bit of light wherever we are. I know as a church this week you have had hard moments, difficult times, moments of despair, moments of joy. And for each person who's sitting here, how are we supporting each other? How are we loving each other? How are we serving each other? Are we ready to respond at an instant and drop whatever it is that we're doing to go and help somebody else who's in need? Are we willing to let our light shine in the darkness for people to see Jesus? 2 Timothy 1 verse 6 reminds us to fan into flame the gift that God has given us. And each person in here has been given a gift. A God-given gift to serve him. Are you ready to serve with it? Matthew 5 and 14 to 16 talks about letting your light shine before men Don't hide your light under a bowl. The city on the hill can't be hidden because the lights are shining from it. Is that true of this church? Because we're inspired by the one who says, I am the light of the world. As John 8 and 12 reminds us. You know, as we're here this morning, there's two questions. Are you dressed? Ready for service? Are you shining as bright as you can? In anticipation for the Master's return. Is there opportunities right now in this church to be used and to shine? And often when people think about service and getting involved and doing things, whatever it is, they think about the activities in the church. They think about the programs, the structure, everything else. And you think to yourself, well, I don't really fit in the children's ministry, so I can't get involved there. I don't really do youth, so I'm no going there. But I think we need to get away from that. And I think when we need to look at our service for each other, we need to get back to the Acts church, the early church. It said they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And they devoted themselves to each other. If someone was in need, what did they do? They sold everything they had and they helped that person. Do we have a community this morning that would be willing to do that for each other, whether we're facing the most dark times or facing the times of joy? Are we really ready to serve? Are we really ready to shine? You know, Peter, as we finished with the wee verse in verse 41, he pipes up. You know what Peter's like, if you've got any experience of reading the accounts of Peter? He likes to speak first and think later. But he asked Jesus a question, and I don't know if it was a bit of a get-out kind of thing he was trying to do here. If he was trying to say to them, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? Was Peter trying to take the responsibility away and say, well, we're okay? He must be talking to everybody else. But that's why this morning, as I said right at the start, I believe that God's word is powerful and it's personal. And when Jesus spoke that day, he was speaking to Peter, and Peter knew it. Peter knew it. But he thought, how do I get out of this? How do I pass the responsibility onto somebody else? Have you ever been there? You ever tried that? This whole concept of being ready to serve in Christ Church and Kirtlistan Community Church, being ready to see what God is going to do in your community. We often ask our question, why is God not doing more? But in my heart, and also in my experience, I say, God's not doing more because I'm not doing more. I'm not allowing myself to be available and to be ready and to shine as bright as I can. But that can be in the small things, not just in the big things. The question this morning is, are you ready for Jesus' return? Are you living out your faith right now? And you can answer that by a simple yes or no. Are you ready for Jesus' return? This morning as you're here, you may have come to church for the first time, I don't know. And you might be thinking, who is this Jesus? Who is this one that's going to bring light into the darkness? Who is this one that changes lives, that teaches these things? This is the Jesus who one day is coming again, and the Bible's very clear on it, and he's looking for us to be ready for that day, no matter when it is going to be. We don't know. Nobody knows. It says in Acts 1:11, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. He is coming back. Are you ready? Have you had your sins forgiven and dealt with? The past completely wiped out and the future beginning to start, and see where God has placed you in this church and in this community to change lives. Revelation 22 and 12 says, behold, I'm coming soon, and I believe it. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And as we bring this brief thought to a close, are you ready to serve? Are you ready to shine? Are you ready for when Jesus comes back to take those who have put their trust in him to heaven? Who will see what we've done? Who will reward us? And it's not just about works, because there's people in this community, and you might be here this morning, you think to yourself, oh, it's all about what I do, and that'll sort me out with God. That's not what it's about. It's about being inspired by the faith that you have and what has happened in here and the transformation in your life to believe that God can do it in other people. I'm going to ask you this morning, if you have had your life changed by Jesus Christ and he has done something amazing in your life, whether it's small or big, do you believe he can do that in other people? Do you believe that he can change this community? Do you believe that he wants to do something big through the small things that we do? Whether that's supporting the individual who's struggling and at their lowest point and drawing alongside them and just putting your arm around them and letting them know that you care. Whether that's serving in the church and being involved in ministries or being a ministry leader and leading people in order to reach their full potential in whatever area that will be. Folks, I don't want you to settle for less this morning. Don't settle for, I'll do as little as I can that I can possibly get away with. But let's see if we can do as much as we can and experience what God wants to do in this place and in your life. And as we bring this message to a close, I met with a family this week who had suffered a bereavement, and they had asked me to be involved in the funeral planning and the things we were doing. And I met this guy, and he came up, and the first thing he said to me was, John, I don't do religion. I says, well, that's good, neither do I. He says, I don't do God. I thought, right, interesting. Thanks for the challenge. But as we met with the family and as we spoke with the family and as we offered hope to the family, on Friday afternoon, this man came to me and he said, John, you've inspired me today. I says, wait a minute, stop just now. It's not me that's inspired you. I'm just telling you what God says. He said, if I didn't live in Manchester, I would be at your church on Sunday. I don't do religion. I don't do God. But when God's word speaks, it changes lives. It changes lives. We're just a part of that. We're just a link in the chain. I wonder if you will play your part in this church. I'm going to ask you this morning to do something. If you believe in the message that you've heard this morning, and if you believe that God has called you for a purpose in this church, to serve in this church, to shine in this church, to serve in your family and to shine in your family, to serve in your street and to shine in your street, if God's inspired you to serve in your work and to shine in your work, I'm going to ask you to do something this morning, if you believe it. I want you to make a commitment this morning that if you're saying, I want to get ready, I want to take this stand, I want to shine, and I want to do it with everybody that's in this building. One wee candle on a hill, you can see the light, but it's there in the distance. Can you imagine a big fire on the top of the hill? What's that going to do? It's going to brighten up the whole area. So this morning, if you believe in what God is saying, know what I'm saying. I don't have the ability to change lives or transform communities, but God does. And if you believe that today is the day that you're going to be ready to stand up and serve wherever it is that you are, fulfilling your whole potential for who God designed you to be, then I want you to stand right now. And I want to pray for this church. I want to pray for you this morning as you're here in the stand that you've made. that God will protect you. Put on that full armour every day, folks. Ephesians 6, go home and read it. Pin it to your door just before you go. Pin it to your bedroom wardrobe or whatever it is so that you can see it as you get ready each day. And in Colossians, put on these things and think about how we can help others and inspire others. Let's pray. Father, as we're here, I thank you for each person who's in this church. I thank you for bringing them here this morning. I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the challenge to be ready for your return. And as part of that, we need to serve each other. We need to serve our community. We need to serve you. And I pray, Lord, that as we shine in the darkness that we see in our communities and our societies, as the world seems to become a more dark place, may the light that shines from this church and these individuals make the change. Lord, this message is for everybody. And help us never to try and shy away from it or walk away from it or do our own thing. Help us to support one another, to stand shoulder to shoulder in service and commitment to you. Help us, Lord, to see the consequences and the effects that if we don't follow you, if we try to live our own way, if we become impatient and we forget that you're coming. Lord, we ask that you would take us away from sin and lead us in the life of everlasting. I pray, Lord, for each person standing here today. Bless them, keep them, strengthen them, encourage them, build them up, Lord. And may this community be transformed as a result of the people who stand here today, that you work through your chosen instruments, your lights to shine. I pray these things in your name. Amen. Folks, if you have stood this morning, you need to speak to the leaders of your church and ask them to help you and to guide you and to take you on the step that you're going. But I'll be praying for you as a church. Thank you.